Thank you, Irene. Let's pray as we come to God's word. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Father, in the same way that you opened the minds of those disciples with Jesus, as Jesus spoke to them and showed them all of what was promised, and please would you open our minds and our hearts so that we can understand these scriptures before us today, and so that we too may be those who go and preach the forgiveness of sins in his name. Amen. Well, it's been mentioned a couple of times, but it is important to remember that as we come to this book of Acts, as we start this new series, that it is part two. Part one was Luke's gospel, and this is part two. See that from just how it starts in verse one. He says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote to you about these things. He is continuing where he left off. And there's lots of links, as we'll see, and even repetition from where he finishes, even that passage that I just quoted then as I prayed, picking up those same ideas. He's very much carrying on where he left off. And his purpose in writing is the same for Acts as it is for his gospel. We saw that earlier in the children's talk. His aim is to give Theophilus and us all, believers, all those looking into the gospel and into the book of Acts, he wants to give us certainty about what we've been taught. And in particular, certainty and confidence in the coming of the kingdom of God. What it looks like, what we're to expect, and how it will come about. The kingdom of God is a big theme in Luke's gospel. It's mentioned over 40 times. Jesus says that's why he's come. He's come to preach the good news of the kingdom. He says that right at the start in chapter 4. And we see, and as the thief hangs on the cross, what does he say to him? He says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It dominates the book of Luke, but it also dominates the book of Acts too. It's not mentioned as many times. You don't get that phrase repeated again and again, but it is repeated and mentioned in two key places, at the beginning and at the end. And by doing that, Luke kind of forms two pillars, two bookends, if you like, the beginning and end, that control everything that comes in between. So you see it there in verse 3, as Jesus spoke to them about the kingdom of God. Verse 6, you get a similar idea. The disciples respond by asking, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And then if you flick on to chapter 28, right at the end of the book of Acts, you see the other pillars. So flick on there to chapter 28 and have a look at verse 23. As the book concludes, where we find Paul in Rome, witnessing to the local Jewish leaders from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God. As he says, they arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God and from the law of Moses and the prophets. He tried to persuade them about Jesus. And then look again, just right down to the final two verses, verses 31 and 13 and 31. For two whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. What was he doing? Well, he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. So it's there right at the beginning and the end. And so whilst it's not the dominant theme, it is the overarching theme. It's set over everything else that happens, held up by those two pillars, that bracket and give the context of everything that comes in between. As Luke shows how the kingdom of God has been established through Jesus' death and resurrection's first coming, is now, as we see through the book of Acts, being extended in the church. And will continue to do so until Jesus returns at his second coming. And those are our 2 points. You'll find them on the back of the outline of bulletin if you want to follow along and take notes. But there are 2 points, really, this morning, as Luke introduces his book. First of all, he reminds us that the kingdom of God has come through Jesus' death and resurrection. And then secondly, he introduces a theme for the rest of the book of how the kingdom of God is coming and being extended through the church. So let's firstly look briefly at how the kingdom of God has been established. The kingdom of God has come. That's verses 1 to 5. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for a gift from my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So here, Luke is really just reminding us of all that he's already set out in greater detail in his gospel. But he repeats it here because it forms the foundation of all that we're to see going forward. That Jesus is the exalted King who has established his kingdom through his death and resurrection, through his suffering and rising again. But what is the kingdom of God, this term we keep on hearing, and why is it such good news? Well, it's nothing less than a broken world remade. Remade by God's powerful kindness. That's what the kingdom of God is about. At the heart of our broken world is humanity's broken relationship with our loving Maker, as we have put him to side, ignored him, and turned away from him. And God's kingdom is him coming to put things right, to restore relationship, and in doing so, to bring in, ultimately, a new world. It's what the prophets in the Old Testament spoke about. That's how Jesus could open their minds to show them how it all pointed to this, because that's what that's all about. How God would restore his relationship with his people, how he would save them, cleanse them from their sin, and give them new hearts to obey him, to live under his loving kingly rule. A kingdom where everything would be set right, where he would be their God and they would be his people. And now the kingdom of God has been established. Why? Well, because the king has been established. Jesus has been victorious. He has beaten sin, he's defeated death, he's been raised again, and he is now crowned as Lord. And we can be confident of this because he has risen from the dead. That's the emphasis here, isn't it? Is we have many convincing proofs that he was alive. Why? Well, because he appeared to the apostles over a period of 40 days. And not just to a small inner circle. We heard at Summer Connect on Wednesday evening, we were looking at 1 Corinthians 15, and we heard how he appeared to over 500 of the brothers. So a huge crowd of people you could go and ask to be convinced that Jesus really has risen again. And because of that, proof that he is the Messiah, that he is the Christ, God's chosen King. And because he's been exalted and crowned as the risen, glorious King, we can have confidence and be sure that his kingdom has been established. And Luke, as we start his second volume, wants us to be clear on that. It's perhaps the same as children going back to school. It's very hard, isn't it, for them to remember what's happened from 6 weeks beforehand. But the teachers have to pick up where they left off. And so what they will do is they'll want to make sure that everyone has got it before they move on. So before you start doing improper fractions, the teacher will remind them, remember what we learnt about proper fractions. Start with that, and then we can move on. And that's a bit what Luke is doing here. He wants to ensure that we're all on the same page, that as we come to the book of Acts, we're convinced and we're sure of what's happened so far. We're sure that Jesus is the risen, exalted King, and therefore his kingdom has come. If you're here and you are unconvinced about that, you're not sure, well, go back and read Luke's Gospel. Spend some time, take an hour or so, I would imagine, sit down and read it. Look at the eyewitness evidence. Investigate it. Remind yourself of it. If it's particularly the resurrection, then there's some great books on the bookstore with the proof of the resurrection. Look at the evidence. Because it's important. Because if Jesus is the risen, exalted King, if his kingdom has come, then that changes everything. It means we're living in a new era. A whole new world has dawned. And so we need to live in the light of that reality. And we need that to understand the book of Acts as we look ahead. We need to realize that this new era has dawned, that things are different at this point. But more important even than that is to understand what we're about as Christians, as the church today. If this new era has dawned, what are we to be doing? What does it mean to live in Jesus' kingdom, with the kingdom of God being established? And that's what we're going to see as we look through the Acts, is seeing how that works out. But first of all, Luke wants us to be convinced, to be sure that Jesus, God's kingdom has come, that Jesus is King. But having done that, then he can move on. But as I say that, it's not that he's moving on to a different subject. It's that what has already happened, the fact that Jesus is King, controls everything that is to come. So again, going back to school analogy, it's not that kind of you finish one topic and you're moving on to the next. So in physics, the teacher says, okay, well, we've finished electricity. We've done that. You can file that away. Okay, and now we're going to move on to forces, a completely different topic. No, the reason we need to be clear on this, on that Jesus is King and his kingdom is established, is because that's what is carrying on. And you see that from verse 1. It's a striking comment, isn't it? If you look down. So in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote to you about all Jesus began to do and teach. Began to do and teach. So what does that mean for what Acts is about? Well, if Luke was about what Jesus began to do and teach, Acts is about what Jesus continues to do and teach. Jesus' work hasn't stopped. As we work through Acts, it is all about what Jesus is continuing to do and to teach as he brings in and extends his kingdom. So having established it as King, he is continuing to work to extend it through the world. That's our second point. The kingdom of God is coming. It has come. Jesus is King. It is coming as the gospel will go out and his kingdom and rule will be extended through the church by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verses 6 to 11. Then they gathered round him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Israel, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This is the same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven, who will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So the apostles' question in verse 6 is a right one. Okay, Jesus, we know you're the Messiah, God's promised king. You've shown us you've come to establish your kingdom. So when are we going to see it? Is it now? A right expectation, a right anticipation. They recognize that things have changed. But like in the Gospels, they've not yet grasped the nature and timing of this kingdom. They still think it's about a physical kingdom, about the restoration of the kingdom to Israel. And they think it's going to be immediate. They think it's all going to happen now at this moment. But verses 7 and 8, Jesus corrects them. You see, first of all, he corrects them about the timing. He says, don't worry about that. It's not about waiting for a specific time or date or moment when the kingdom will be established. Today, the 1st of September, is the 80th anniversary, as you may know, of Germany's invasion of Poland that started Hitler's quest for establishing the Third Reich. Well, it's not like that with Jesus' kingdom. It's not there's an invasion date set that we've got to sort of set our clocks to for D-Day. Neither is it just about the restoration of Israel. No, Jesus' kingdom will be a multinational kingdom. It will go out from Jerusalem. Notice that. You've been witnesses in Jerusalem, but then from there, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's not about booting out the Romans and making Israel great again. Jesus' kingdom transcends physical barriers. It's going to include people from every tribe and tongue and nation. And the way it's going to come is not through programs or political structures. It is going to come through proclamation. Verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The kingdom will come through the witness of the apostles as they proclaim and testify to all that they saw Jesus say and do whilst they were with him. Again, Luke here is just reiterating what he's already said at the end of Luke's gospel. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Do you see the similarity? The kingdom will come as people hear the witness of the apostles, as they preach forgiveness of sins and repentance. Repentance comes as people repent, they come under the rule of Christ. But Luke is repeating it here again to set out what we're going to see as we work through the book of Acts. We're going to see this spread of the rule of King Jesus. First with the Spirit coming to the apostles at Pentecost, empowering them for this task. And then as the apostles go out, we see first of all the gospel coming to Jerusalem and the growth of the church there. And then it goes out further in chapter 8. Persecution comes, they're forced to scatter. And through that, the gospel goes out to Judea and Samaria. Then in chapter 10, by chapter 10, we're sort of seeing Gentiles converted. And by the end, we find Paul in Rome, at the capital of the known world at the time. The gospel has gone to the very ends of the earth. And remember, this is not a different topic. It's not that we've had the work of Jesus and now we've had the growth of the church. This is the work that Jesus continues to do. And the proclamation of the apostles is the continued teaching of Jesus, as what he says to them is recalled and passed on and proclaimed to others, as Jesus continues to teach. And the way he does that is through his Spirit. See, that's what they're not to go straight away. They're to wait for the Spirit, the one who was promised, the third member of the Trinity who is going to come and continue the work as he gives them the power to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. But again, remember, it's not that this is the book of the Acts of the Spirit, that somehow, again, we're doing something different here. It's not that you've got the work of Jesus over here and the work of the Spirit over here. No, the Spirit's work is that he enables the apostles to proclaim Jesus' words with boldness. He continues he brings repentance and applies the work of Jesus' death to the lives of individuals to bring about the forgiveness of sins. It's by the Spirit that he continues the work that Jesus began. But it doesn't stop with the apostles. It's not just the witness of the apostles that this is going to happen. It's the witness, ongoing witness of the church in the power of the Spirit. As we read Acts, we do need to be careful as we go through. There'll be various points where we have to be very careful to work out and to see the unique role and the unique situation in the early church. We're not exactly the same as them. They had a unique role, those first apostles, who were there with Jesus. They were eyewitnesses. They saw all that he said and did. And we have their testimony here in the Bible, don't we, in the New Testament, of their Spirit-empowered witness recorded for us. But we continue to have the same role of continuing Jesus' work, of extending his kingdom, of acting as witnesses, proclaiming this apostle's testimony. That continues on. We'll see that as we go through Acts, that it's not limited actually just to the apostles. So we'll meet Stephen and Philip, who were not apostles and yet witnesses. We'll meet women like Lydia and even slave girls who testify and witness to Jesus. But we also see that point made from verses 9 to 11. Verses 9 to 11. So in verse 9, we see Jesus ascending into heaven. He's exalted and now reigning in glory. And in verse 11, we're told that he will come back in the same way. As the Son of Man, as we heard at the start, coming in on the clouds of heaven, he will one day come back as the risen, exalted King for all to see, to bring in his kingdom fully, to extend it, and in an unmistakable and unmissable way. And these are the only two time points given. So Jesus has ascended, and he will return. And we continue to live between those two points. We continue to wait, know that the kingdom is established, but waiting for his return. And so we have that same task to do as those first apostles. the task as the church of extending Jesus' kingdom by witnessing to Jesus and all he said and did. And so we're to get on with the task that's been left for us. That's the point of verse 11. I love this verse where these two angels come and sort of meet the apostles. And there the apostles are, they're looking into the clouds, staring up into sky where Jesus has gone. And then these two angels come along and they sort of stand next to them and say, "What are you looking at?" And they say, "Jesus just ascended." And they say, "Well, why are you standing here looking up there? Get on with the task in hand." That's the point, isn't it? Jesus has gone. He's ascended. His kingdom is established. He's seated as king. So get on with the task of bringing in his kingdom until he returns, when he will come in glory for all to see. Get on with the task you've been given. Don't stand there looking into the sky, staring into space. Get on with the job you've been given. And that's true for us too. That's what we're going to see happen through Acts. And one of the great encouragements as we go through Acts will be seeing this happen. Seeing the kingdom extended. God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. As Jesus' rule is extended through the church. As the power, by the power of the Spirit, they testify and the church grows as we see it, both in number and in kind of locations. It spreads like ripples through a pond. And that in turn should lift our eyes out of the Bible to the world around us. And we should be encouraged as we see the church growing around the world, as the kingdom continues to extend, as the gospel goes out to the very ends of the earth. It's easy, isn't it, for us to be discouraged as we look at our own situation in our church. As a small church, I was hearing a minister talk recently, and he said, "We're only 500," and I thought, "That's not bad. How about 30?" It can feel weak, can't it? It can feel weak in the region, in the Wye Forest, or in the UK. It feels like actually the church is receding from the ends of the earth. But when we feel like that, we need to look into the pages of Acts, and we see that Jesus is extending his kingdom. And we need to lift our eyes to the worldwide church, where we see Jesus extending his kingdom. And we look around us at those small signs of Jesus extending his kingdom. And that should encourage us to keep faithfully witnessing to all Jesus said and did ourselves. Knowing that Jesus is king, that his kingdom has come. And so get on with the task he's given until he returns. Playing our part as we are able to do. Because yes, we are all witnesses. We've all here seen and heard what Jesus has said and did through the apostles' witnesses. So we have their testimony. And so we in turn can then be witnesses to others. We have all we need. We've heard what Jesus said and done, and so we can tell others. But it's also something that we witness as a church. And in that, we all have different roles, don't we? So this is to be our vision. But some may be on the front line, some may be in the supply chain. We'll all have different roles, different capacities. As life changes this over this year, some will have growing capacities, be able to be more involved. Others will have shrinking capacities. The way we support this, the growth of the church will be different. But what we're about shouldn't change. We will want to continue to play our part, whoever we are, in seeing Jesus' kingdom extended through the church, with the power of the Holy Spirit. because as we've seen, and as we'll continue to see as we work through Acts, God's kingdom has been established through Jesus' death and resurrection. We can be sure of that. And God's kingdom is being extended through the church by the Spirit. So we need to get on with that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again that Jesus is King, that he is risen and ruling, exalted. And whilst we don't see that fully, we thank you that we do see how your kingdom is growing, that we do see his rule extending as people come and in repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as your church is growing. And so, Father, we pray we would take confidence and encouragement from that. As we look ahead to all that we're going to see through the series, please would you strengthen us in our certainty that Jesus is King, and our courage and confidence in playing our part as witnesses and getting on with the task that you've left us to, Jesus left us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.